We ended off last week with a discussion of blind spots, and I want to begin with today, the next thing on the sheet, which is the issue of friends. I want to begin with a story about Mark Twain. Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, was looking for a suitor. He was looking for someone to marry his daughter. And a suitable guy came in, and he said to Mark Twain that he wants to date his daughter. And Mark Twain said, okay, tell me who your friends are. I want to find out more about you. So the guy gave Mark Twain a bunch of names, and Mark Twain started talking to them about this young gentleman. And one person had more slander to say than the next. So when the young man came in to Mark Twain, Mark Twain said, I spoke to all of your friends, and son, you don't have any friends. Come, I'll be your friend. And Mark Twain became friendly with him, and he said he was a fine young man, and he married him off to his daughter. Firstly, I'm sad to say that you don't always know who your friends are. Chazal tell us that there doesn't exist a bachelor, who Rav Chaim Vital writes this, that no person goes to his friend's wedding without being bitten. That every person feels a twang when he goes to his friend's wedding. Everyone's smiling, everyone's dancing, and everyone feels a little bit of, why isn't it me that's getting married tonight? Correct. That's what Rav Chaim Vital says. En adam shelo ne'ekatz bechatunat chaverot. Okay. You're a wonderful, exceptional people. But we're talking about most people. Good. Let's discuss it. Okay. First of all, Avram, I say you're exceptional. Okay. But let's continue. So, back to what we're discussing. So firstly, you got to think many times. There are all kinds of stories about what happened in dating. I think that in general, one has to be careful with who one consults. Friends are very, very good in many things. When it comes to dating, I don't think that most friends have room in the dating scene. Firstly, if they're bachelors like you, and that's what I'm talking about, so then I'm not sure they have that much more experience than you. And if they do have more experience, who says they've become wiser from that experience? Maybe there's a reason why he's dating 500 girls. I'm not sure. And secondly, when a person is within that same situation, sometimes it's difficult for him to be able to view things with a more mature view or a more detached view, which is can sometimes be very important. Sometimes a friend can give very, very good tips, but I would think many times before sharing things with a friend. There exists a very bad habit that people come back after a date and they start telling their friends about everything that happened in the date. It's not a good idea. It's not fair to the girl. It's none of his business. And what happens if afterwards you marry the girl? So you sit there and you start telling him all the things that you're not sure about this and that and about how her parents are this and that and all the private things. And then you're going to marry the girl and he's going to know what it is business. So there's no legitimacy to taking private information of someone shared it with you in an intimate setting, you're dating her, to share that with a friend. It's not legitimate. If one is to take advice, so that's a different story. And then again, you have to consider many times if your friends are good people to give advice. I want to caution from taking advice from people who are currently divorced. A person, there's a saying in Hebrew, Mi shenichva berotchim nizhal beposhrim. When a person has been scorched by boiling water, so he takes extra caution from water that's tepid when it's a little bit warm. So a little bit of seichel, a person has to know that if you're going to take counsel, so try to find someone who has a nice, happy marriage, someone who has experience, someone whose best interest is your own, and you have to know that there's, at the end of the day, you're the one that's making the decision. Only you have the full picture. Someone else could think this way or that way, but it's your responsibility. One should be careful with ayin hara from friends. There's no reason to date near Machon Meir, where your friends can see you. A person doesn't have to tell other people, I'm dating this wonderful girl. Chazal told us that people have a tendency to be jealous, and when they're jealous, then they look at us with an ayin hara, and that can harm us. So even though ordinarily I'm not the guy that speaks about this type of thing, but in this area I think it's very important. The area of family, the area of a person's relationship with one's wife, a person's children, and starting from the time a person's dating, it is extremely important to be tzanua. This is one of the areas where Chazal tell us one has to be careful from ayin hara when it comes to one's family. So I don't think we have to be smarter than Chazal. Chazal warned us, a person would be wise to take their caution to heart. So that's why I recommend, even if it's going well, that's no one's business. And if it's going bad, so there's lashon hara, why not honor? And I'll tell you worse, I had a friend once. Thank you very much. Tadama. I had a friend once who dated a girl, and he dated her seriously, and he had certain issues with the girl. And when he finished with the girl, so he wanted to set her up with a good friend of his. And he went to this friend and said, "Look, I have a really good girl for you." And he tried to hide from the friend that this was the girl that he had all the time told him, "I'm not sure, I think she's a little stupid." That was the issue. She wasn't too intelligent. But his friend wasn't too intelligent either. His friend wouldn't have bothered him. So it was an excellent match. But this guy ruined it because he kept telling him he was dating her, and he kept saying, "I'm not sure she's smart. I'm not sure she can really think things through." And he kept driving this point home. Now, this guy was a really smart guy. So when it came time that he ended with the girl, he said, "But she's really good for him." So he came to the guy and tried to present it as though it was a different girl. He waited a week or two, and he came to him and said, "You know, I have a really good girl for you. I have a girl that's really, really good." And the guy was on to him. And 2 years later, I didn't know that this had happened. I came to this guy and tried to set him up with the girl. And he tells me, "Well, she's not too bright, is she?" I says, "I don't know. Why do you say that?" She says to me, no, I know so-and-so dated her, and I know she's not too bright." It's a pity, because to this day, both he and I think that they'd make a really good match. They're both single, but he's not willing to date her because he kept hearing that she's not too bright. That's one example, but even without that example, what purpose is there to speaking badly about someone? Why not honor her? I think it's a disgrace that people will share what they think about another person with other people. If it's necessary, then find one person in a private setting, and whatever has to be said should be said, not more than that, not less than that. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to have to pick up with parents. Maybe we'll try to cover it quickly. I don't think we'll complete it today. There are all kinds of parents out there, so it's difficult to deal with this one directly. There are normal parents and there are not normal parents, and our generation has seen its fair share of abnormal parents. Now I don't know whose parents are what, so I have to begin with this, even though I wouldn't expect it so. A normal parent wants what's best for his child, is not jealous of his child, and tries to help his child. Even if his child is taking on a path that is different than their own, a normal parent wants what's good for the child. Unfortunately, today's society is so self-centered that we see time and again that there are many abnormal parents out there. So one has to try to gauge honestly if one's parents are working with oneself. There's tremendous benefit to dealing with one's parents because they know us on levels that no one else knows us. Now, that means that there's tremendous advantage to talking to them. If things are normal, then they are the people who we could rely on, that they will only want what's good for us. Everyone else you talk to, you have to be suspect. When I said everyone, I meant to the exception of no one. Everyone. Your parents, I hope, if you can tell that they're the people who can work with you and are willing to really try to do what's best for you, then there's really room to hear what they have to say. If a person is a ger or did tshuva and his parents lead a totally different lifestyle than oneself, there's room to think they don't understand what's going on. They might say, "Well, you didn't date the girl for 3 years, you didn't live together for a year and a half, what are you thinking about getting married?" Granted, but there's also room to think that maybe, if at all possible, their input is worthwhile. I stress this because I think there's a tendency to nix them off the bat because we're so different than them. Because we're Jewish and they're not. Because we're religious and they're not. Because we're very religious and they're only minorly religious. Because we're so educated, we went to Machon Meir and they haven't yet learned anything. There is a great tendency to think, what can they know about this? This isn't the way they met. They met at a New Year's Eve party. But it's a pity if we have to totally remove them from the scene. If it's at all possible, then there is what to be gained from consulting with parents. At the same time, we have to know that there are things that we cannot take from them. And we also have to know that because they know us so well, they know all the buttons to push. They know our weak spots, and they know how to talk to us in a way that for days we're riveting from that conversation. And if we feel that they may illegitimately jeopardize a relationship or so to speak, hijack our thoughts, then by the same token that I recommend consulting with them, I would recommend leaving them out of the picture. But if they're not going to be in the picture, I would recommend get someone in the picture who is going to be there for you with your best interest and who has more experience than you. And I would like someone who's married. When people call me today about shiduchim, before I will set them up with a girl or a girl with a guy, one of the things that I ask is, do you have someone to consult with? If you don't have someone to consult with, I say, okay, I'll try to find you if you're a girl, a rebbetzin, if you're a guy, a rabbi. And worst comes to worst, there's me and my wife, but I leave that as the last option. I don't recommend it. I don't have time. It's just that, and I think there are people out there who are much smarter than me. Why should you be stuck with me? Find someone who knows you, someone who can really help you, hopefully. But I think it's very important that there be someone there in your life who's one step ahead of you in life, who already has children, who's already married, and who already is leading a married life and will be able to take things in that context. So we will pick up Ezrat Hashem next week with rabbis, their advice. We were discussing advice from parents and friends. We'll move on to advice from rabbis. We discussed earlier the importance of having a rabbi. Every person should have a rabbi. We've discussed numerous times that when it comes to halacha, if we ask a question, then in most instances we have to follow the answer that's given. When it comes to advice, then we're not obligated to take the advice that's given. It might be a good idea, but we're not obligated to do so. We have to remember the cardinal rule about getting advice. At the end of the day, you're the only one that has the full picture, and it's your call. People can think maybe this is right and maybe that's right, and they could say things and give you their opinion, but at the end of the day, it's you who's either marrying this girl or not. So when it comes to advice in all areas of life, it's good to take advice, but not to follow it blindly. You get advice, so stop down and think. There's a tendency in our generation for people to run away from responsibility. You find people entering college, at least in the United States, they haven't yet decided what their major is going to be. Then when they decide, let me take a major that will leave all options open afterwards when I want to get a second degree, when I want to move forward, because I don't yet know what I want to do with my life. People are always trying to keep all options open. And we don't want to make decisions. Part of this is today the tendency that people will go to a rabbi and tell him, you tell me what the decision is. You tell me what to do. That's not the way life's supposed to be led. The major decisions in life we are supposed to make. We could take counsel with the rabbi. If there's halacha involved, so of course we should verify what the halacha is. But the major decisions in life, that's what life is about, making decisions. We could take counsel with someone, but at the end of the day, we have to make the decision. I think it's a very big mistake that people make today. They look for someone to make decisions in life for them. And to quote one of the leading rabbis of our generation, the tendency today is such that the less logical the rabbi is, the more people want to listen to him. If you walk into him and he tells you, give me the numerical value of your name and the numerical value of her name. If you add a yud to your name, then you guys can get married. Yeah, then it's a good shidduch. People listen to someone who talks that way.
That's not supposed to be there.
Well, it's mystics. It's coming.
That's not the way life is supposed to be led. Our responsibility is to verify and to make the decisions. And if a person is going to make decisions that way, then he is having a big problem with his life. There's I think that every person has to hold himself from succumbing to the desire of giving over the decisions in life to someone else. Our responsibility in life is to make correct decisions. We can take counsel, but counsel means using our intellect. Counsel doesn't mean walking into someone that's wearing some kind of turban and sitting in a musty room and is going to collect 1,000 shekel from us at the end of the day, and he has 50 people running around him, kissing his hand and asking him, well, tell me, Rabbi, what's going to be? Is there going to be a world war this year or not? And so I don't care if there are 500 people walking in front of him chanting things when he walks to the Kotel. That still does not mean that there's any logic or validity to going to that person and his deciding based upon a 2-second interview or a 10-minute interview and hearing the numerical value or some other reason what your names are, that he's going to tell you who you should marry or not. At the end of the day, you have to make the decision and it's your responsibility. I don't want to get into all the questions that you're going to ask me now, because I'm not looking to argue with anyone. I think what I said is clear enough. If you want to hear it, you hear it. If you don't want to hear it, you don't hear it. But more than this, I don't think needs to be said. Nonetheless, it is worthwhile if one has a rabbi who one feels has experience and can think things through with one and hear one out. It's another big issue. People sometimes go to a rabbi who gives you 3 minutes and then they'll make their life decision based on what he said. How do you do that? We have a rule that the greatest judges in the time of the Tanaim would not give ruling unless they knew the whole case. We say, a judge cannot judge based upon anything other than what his eyes see. So if his eyes see a complete picture, he gives ruling based upon the complete picture. If his eyes do not see a complete picture, then he's giving you an answer that's based on an incomplete picture. We do not assume that he is so smart and has such Ruach HaKodesh that when you walk in and tell him 3 sentences, he'll know another 10 paragraphs about your life and her life and the problems of your dating. We do not assume that in Halacha. Not about Rabbi Akiva, not about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and not about any rabbi today. No, the rule is a judge judges based upon what his eyes perceive. And it's our responsibility, if we are going to him and asking him his opinion, to let his eyes perceive as much as possible. So if we're going to ask advice, then we have to share with him everything that's going on. And if we're not going to share it with him, then we have to realize that we're misleading him, and then he's not misleading us, he's just giving us the correct answer based upon the limited information that we're giving him. Yeah?
Yeah, just for comparison, the Gematria of my name is 5, the Gematria of my fantasy is 6. So it's a good thing that you get married even though the Gematria is 5.
Kolokovat? Who said that's not fitting, right?
But all is the settlement that we're not supposed to listen to any of the Kabbalists advice.
He said, I don't want to go into the specific questions you're going to ask. Let's leave that.
But I'm saying, like, why we can't even trust the Gematria.
Okay. There's another point about rabbis that's very important. I always say when people call me up, be it to verify about you guys, or be it when they're going to verify about someone else, I say, don't believe rabbis. Why? Because a rabbi could be very well-meaning, but I don't know you guys that well. I have to be realistic. Everyone puts on a nice facade in front of me. Everyone's very nice over here. No one takes out a knife at one another. No one starts strangling one another. And no one curses in front of me. I'm not stupid. I know that the way people behave here is not the way they're behaving in their dorm rooms. I'd like to think that that's the way they're behaving in their dorm rooms, but somehow I have to think not. So when a girl calls me up and asks me about a guy, I tell her, look, I know this guy. I love this guy. I'm going to tell you a lot of great things about this guy. But I have to begin with an introduction that I say to every girl that calls me about every guy, and that is, do not believe rabbis. We can tell you our perception, and our perspective is very limited. All we see is here in the classroom. What can I tell you? Here in the classroom, he doesn't bite anyone. Yes, here in the classroom, he speaks nicely, he's gentle, he doesn't curse, he seems to have good traits. Do I know what he's doing when he's not in the classroom? I don't know. You don't know a person from a classroom. And as much as I think I know guys
better than the classroom because we get to talk and guys come to my house for Shabbos meals. But at the end of the day, who are we kidding? We all behave differently when we're standing next to different people. And I assume that when you guys are at my house, you're behaving a little bit better, and maybe even a lot better, than you're behaving when you're not in my house. Now, I'd like to think that everyone's wonderful people, and I do give, after this introduction, I do give a very, very strong recommendation to guys that I feel I know. If I don't know a guy, I say, I don't know. I'll be honest. And if I know him, then I'll say what positive I know. But I will always begin with this introduction. I will say, I don't know if the guy's taking pills. I don't know if the guy's on drugs. I don't know anything about the guy other than the classroom. But in the classroom, and when we walk home together, and when he comes to me for Shabbos meals, I can tell you he's a wonderful guy. We love having him over for Shabbos meals. He's good with the kids. He's gentle. He's sweet. He's good-natured. He's always a pleasure to have. My wife enjoys when he comes for a Shabbos meal. I enjoy when he comes for a Shabbos meal. When he walks into the house, the kids are always happy. He has good manners. I could say a lot of wonderful things, which are true. But I have to caution beforehand that I have a limited view. Now, most people won't tell you that. When you want to verify about a girl, don't call her rabbi. Because most rabbis will just tell you the positive and assume, well, you know I only know her from the classroom. So I could tell you horror stories about people who, I'll give you the most extreme example. A guy who was caught robbing a house on Shabbos. He had burglarized homes on Yom Kippur. He had burglarized over 10,000 homes in Jerusalem, me among them. Over 10,000. And he was in the middle of getting smicha. And when someone came and asked me about him, I said, I don't know. I don't know him. So they went to his rabbi, and his rabbi said, what can I tell you? He comes to class, he participates in class, he asks good questions. Yeah, the guy figured the best way of conning everyone was to be in the yeshiva, this way he doesn't have to go to the army. He could be in the yeshiva. The yeshiva doesn't know exactly when he's there, when he's not there. At nights he could go work. And he was robbing homes. I'm telling you, over 10,000 homes in Jerusalem he robbed. So the rabbi couldn't know this. In classroom he was behaving like Esav. Esav also asked good questions, seemed to be pious, walked in with his tzitzis out. Can we really know? So that's an extreme example. I don't think I have anyone here that's robbing any homes, Baruch Hashem. I think everyone here is wonderful people, and I really think the world of everyone here. But I'm also realistic, and I know that I can't know beyond what I see, and what I see is very limited. So, by the same token that I'm telling you that about myself, I'm also saying that about any person you're calling up to verify about a girl. I recommend do not talk to rabbis. That's my recommendation. When it comes to verifying about someone, I say don't even bother calling them. Because their perspective isn't complete, so they might mislead you and you won't know it. So I recommend when you get numbers to verify about someone, not with a rabbi, verify with someone else. If you get that number, sometimes it's worth hearing. Sometimes you will hear something interesting. But most of the time I recommend don't even bother calling that number. Ask for other numbers. Top, Lila, top.